found out from one of the kids, by the way. GAP. It's fine. GAP is a popular acronym.
For?
Gay and Proud.
Oh, that's cute.
So when they asked me, like, you GAP? I was like, what?
Check it on Urban Dictionary just to be sure. It's just like some other convenient tip to be like, yeah, I'm GAP, all right.
I'm so GAP.
Like, on TikTok, it's like millions of views.
And it's like this dumb
stupid teacher admits he's GAP. And welcome, everyone. Welcome, one and all. Welcome you and you. But not you, to a new episode of Why Do We Watch This? The podcast where three chums watch a troubled movie, talk about what they liked, what they didn't like, and how they would fix it while enjoying a themed cocktail. I am your host for this mini episode, Brendan Drischler.
I'm Chris Ravel.
The other one?
I am Lee Delahanty.
The final one.
The one that's not welcome.
Yes.
The final Lee.
That's the final Lee.
The final Lee.
That slight pause.
Eternal Lee.
There Lee, here Lee, everywhere Lee.
Everywhere
Lee. That pause before I introduced myself was me doing the math on whether or not I could successfully shoehorn in a joke. Like, I just took a portable door here, but I figured it wasn't worth it.
Wow.
I don't even remember what that refers to anymore. It went out of my head.
I have a goldfish memory.
It's the June Diane Raphael. You'll
never remember any of the movies.
You won't remember it.
Yeah. Once it's done, baby.
Yeah.
Anyway, like I said, podcast, Why Do We Watch This? Mini episode. So, of course, as is our want of the mini episode, we set things up for 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now, we are doing the movie Wish. Wish. From 2023, directed by Chris Buck, and I think I'm going to get this wrong, Fawn Vera Sunthorn. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly.
I applaud you for the effort, though.
Right, so this is as you may or may not know, a Disney movie that came out toward the tail end of last year as part of their We've Been a Company for 100 Years celebration, and everyone looked at it and said, huh.
Yeah, it didn't really... It had basically a non-reaction.
Right.
I've kind of heard it was hot garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. The hot take I heard was that a prequel, I guess, about the Wishing Star, literally.
It's kind of, like,
star.
It's vague, but yeah. I mean, the biggest issue I have, which we'll surely get into, is that it's mostly just kind of, like, this, like, masturbatory, we've been around for 100 years, rather than, like, a movie with, like, a plot and, like, interesting things happening.
So, like, maybe this would have just been a fun special to release on
Disney+.
Maybe
if this
Plus.
Had been, like, a 21-minute special, we would have been like, that's fun, let's talk about The Wishing Star. But when you stretch it out to... Blessedly, this movie is, like, 90 minutes. So it nicely pretty tight 90. Although I hesitate to say tight, because it's still pretty loose and unstructured. But it is short.
Ain't we all been kids before?
Ain't we all been kids before?
Or however that line goes.
That's so true.
I believe that's exactly what it was.
So when you watch this...
I say that to myself so much and giggle.
Put on your nostalgic kid goggles and think to yourself, ain't we all been kids before this? Watch it through a child's eyes and see if that does something for you. Anyway, of course, because we're watching this, we need a drink to accompany ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the drink... So I had, like... kind of futzed around with this like a week or so ago based off of just one of the, you know how we have that doc that's just like recipes that we might use at some point.
Yeah.
And so like I was futzing around like was one that had like peach and bourbon and ginger beer.
Yes.
And I was like, okay.
I
so like
I added that one.
You might have, yeah. And so I futzed around with it and I don't have a good name for it at all. I called it was Star is Baby Yoda now because like there's that fucking star in the movie. You can tell they were clearly very much like this fucking star
it's
is gonna pop
move,
so big.
Move a lot of plushies.
Right, this star is gonna be a huge deal, and then again, no one cared. So I don't know. Unless I think of something better, it's called Star is Baby Yoda now.
I love it.
And it is 4 peach slices, 1 thinly cut slice of lemon, 2 ounces of bourbon, 2 ounces of ginger beer, and mint. So what you do is you muddle the lemon and peach slices in a cocktail shaker with bourbon and mint, add ice and shake it until it's chilled, pour it into a glass over ice, and then top with ginger beer. And then I'm gonna add a little lemon star for garnish.
That sounds delicious.
I hope so.
If I can also give a really pretentious take on the name.
You may.
Grogu Ad Astra.
Grogu Ad Astra, that's true. That might be it, yeah. Grogu to the stars, baby!
I mean, does the star talk?
No.
Does
I'm
it
just saying,
so
Super Mario Galaxy has done Star Wars.
I know, it has, right. It has,
before.
Right. But
better
even in the movie,
mascots.
It's like a little talkie. Like, its gimmick in
death.
The movie is that it's right. Like, that it says,
it
like, bleak, nihilistic
well,
things.
Well, no, but, like, because that just comes from Super Mario Galaxy.
Okay.
So, I do think they do talk. There's no voices in Super Mario Galaxy. It's just, like, they
right.
don't talk. But they also, when you talk to them, they just kind of make these,
yeah.
like, kind of noises. And that's kind of what I imagine that it should sound like.
Tubby cooing.
My vague recollection is that the star doesn't really communicate whatsoever. It's just sort of like a little face.
Yeah.
That, again, they were hoping would sell Funko Pops.
A little star face.
A little star baby face.
How do you
face.
Sell a Funko Pop of a star?
It looks almost the same as the actual star. You think of the whole thing about a Funko Pop is it's like, oh, it's got like the big head
it's like
and the big
body.
Eyes. It's like, no, it looks just like this. It doesn't look any different. It's just the
yeah.
star. Anyways. So,
weird.
Having done our legwork for next episode in 2 weeks, let's get into the topic. And we're going back to a topic for a little bit here because we've done a lot of games,
mm-hmm.
and then we said no more games, no fun,
well,
no
let
games.
Us retire to the
yeah.
parlor for deep discussion.
Right. We have some ideas, but it's just nothing that we felt like getting into right now. So we thought, why not go about the discussion? And this is something that kind of came up because I had watched the I don't even fucking remember the name of it. Well, the Idea of You. I will not ever remember the name of that movie because it's such a generic fucking name. But The Idea of You, it's a Michael Showalter movie that's on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starring Anne Hathaway, and I don't know how to say his name.
Nicholas Galitzine? I believe it's Galitzine.
I mean, it's spelled Galitzine.
I believe it's
Anne Hathaway and Nicholas Galitzine. And the premise is basically like, what if Harry Styles fucked my hot mom?
Yes.
And except that like it's from the perspective of the mom. It's not like
right.
the daughter like waking up one morning and seeing Harry Styles.
There's
in the bed
no
of
like
mom.
Yeah. There's no actual plot of the mom being like, ew, you're marrying, you're,
right.
you're fucking my famous teen idol.
Although,
right, no,
well,
no, no, because they make a point to say in the movie that like, no, she likes the other one. Like she likes one of the other guys in the band. So it's not like. Like, you know, she sees this guy go after her mom. It's like, but I'm in love with not Harry Styles.
So she does have a daughter who is into the band.
Yeah, she has a daughter
who
was like,
was.
She has a daughter who was into the band.
Who
and the daughter's like a little past that now.
Oh, okay.
But
she
like,
was never into Harry Styles.
No, the daughter was never into Harry. Like, the
this
daughter
is not
was.
Actually Harry Styles.
Yeah.
By the way,
yeah.
neither played by
no,
nor
neither,
portraying
no.
Harry Styles.
But it's a Harry Styles invocation.
I know.
Yeah,
it's
a Harry
tight.
Styles analog.
It's
yes, yes.
We are invoking.
Yes,
invoking
we are invoking
Styles.
The rule of Styles.
Yeah. I don't know anything about Harry Styles.
What I've,
yeah,
what I've read.
You don't
is,
need to, really.
If you watch a few episodes of the most recent episode of Girls 5 Eva, they do a really good parody of him.
I haven't seen anything.
Inside yeah.
my sweater.
The sweater boy, yeah.
But I read that apparently the movie kind of tells the story. It focuses more in on the woman, and
yes.
it's also not mean.
Right.
Which a lot of times...
Wait, I'm sorry. You said it's not mean? In
mean.
What sense?
Well, it doesn't necessarily, like, look down on her for having
oh,
this
no,
attraction.
No, no, no. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, like, people on the internet being like, ugh, uggo old mom.
Right.
Why is she dating a hot young guy? Like, you could be dating me.
In the
yeah.
movie or outside
in
the movie?
In, like, people, like, online in the movie. Like,
okay.
inside... In the world of the movie, like, Anne Hathaway will, like, go online, and there'll be, like,
yeah,
comments
yeah, yeah.
from people being like,
well, that's
ugh.
Gonna happen. Anyway, that happens with when hot people date different.
Right, no,
right.
of course. But it's just one of those things where everyone's always like, oh, like, what does
yeah,
this
yeah.
old lady think she's doing? And so, it's not a great movie, but it's a fine movie, and it's, like, well acted.
There's a million K-dramas about people dating idols, and
yeah.
all of them, like, obviously, I think it's maybe it's a slightly different tinge, but it definitely, like, is a bit more unhealthy and toxic
mm-hmm.
in Korea than it is in K-pop world.
I mean, we're inheriting some toxic traits,
but it's
though.
Pretty toxic here, too, now. But in K-pop land, it is always, like, they're like fangirls will like stalk the
right. They hate these women, right?
And like throw eggs,
yeah.
at even if the girlfriend
right.
is like hot. It doesn't matter.
Right. It doesn't matter like how nice or sweet
so, like,
or wonderful she is.
How
they're
dare
like,
you get to touch him?
Right. Like we hate you because like I could conceivably be dating
yes.
him instead. Sure. Whatever.
Yeah, but it's always this misguided, like, I'm protecting him.
Right,
because...
right, yes, no, and The Idea of You also very much frames it that way, where
yes.
it's, like, all these people being, like, oh, like, what is she doing
yeah,
to him?
Yeah, she's,
like,
gold digger old lady.
Right,
I'll
right,
make it
right.
really brief, but there is a really good example of that happening in our world right now, and it is with this middle-aged woman who goes by Club Chalamet online in all these social media accounts, and she is beyond obsessed with Timothée Chalamet to the point that she manages to get to all his red carpets... He like tries to avoid her, but she spends all of her time protecting him on the internet from, he's with Kylie Jenner, can you believe that? She's not good enough to be with him. But you know who is? Johnny Depp's daughter. Because Johnny Depp is a classy guy. She goes in wild directions.
These people are psychotic, clearly, yes. First of all. But anyways, the reason why this sort of came up was, we were talking about this as like a concept in the movies, and it's like one of the kind of few examples of a Hollywood movie where there is an age gap and the woman is older than the man, and it also is making the movie deals with that age gap, but also obviously is dealing with the fact that this character is a pop star and this right. other character is just like average mom, you know, very wealthy average mom.
Aggressively wealthy, yes, average right. mom.
She's a single mom. She has a great house and her own business. Anyway, so there is that. And it just sort of got us off on the subject of the concept of like age gaps in media in general, mm-hmm. sort of like how they're portrayed, how they're, you know, how they are dealt with, or how in some cases they're not dealt with. You know, the movie doesn't feel the need to address them or something like that.
I think it's a really interesting topic because I feel like because of how age is treated in general in our culture, the way media ends up treating it is a really interesting reflection. And then I feel like it touches so many other things because there are assumptions attached to different kind of gender arrangements of a May-December coupling.
Right.
And that doesn't necessarily all come as innate qualities of that, but it's still very much a part of that lens.
Right.
Yeah, it's just really interesting to me.
Yeah. I mean, like I had kind of said, by and large, a lot of these age gap romances tend to be ones where the male is older than mm-hmm. the woman. And part of me almost kind of wonders if a lot of the knee-jerk reactions, like some people, I feel like as soon as you mention like the concept of age gap, some people are to me like, gross, awful, like, I don't want this. I do kind of wonder if a lot of it stems from the fact that historically we have been predominantly inundated with yes. the concept of like 60-year-old men and 20-year-old women, and it's not an issue, you know, like it's not an issue in the sense that no one in the movie is ever like, hey, it's weird that you're dating a 20-year-old, right? Can we discuss this for a moment? But instead it's just presented as like a normal fact that a 60-year-old man obviously can get with a much younger woman, whereas on the other hand that's an irregularity and something that doesn't really happen.
I think that is 10 billion percent why.
But I mean, okay, we still think that's gross. Like it's not in the movie seen as gross, but people right. think it's gross.
Right. No, yeah, the movie is not the Anne Hathaway movie.
Younger woman.
Yeah.
Like We see that all the time in Hollywood,
right?
Right, but right. I would still say that people think it's gross.
I think we think it's more gross now because it's communicating an assumption that this is cool. It's and that a man this age, his equal is a woman who's like young and super beautiful. But that a woman doesn't necessarily get that same thing.
I mean, I would say if it's an issue now, it's just like, again, like I was saying, it's an issue kind of more because this has been such a thing for such a long time and it's not been balanced on the other side of the scale.
I guess, but I think it's okay. Maybe I have a different take here. Yeah. Maybe I think there's like two optics on this, right? There's like the general sort of mainstream optics of like, we see this all the time where it's older men, younger women. Mm-hmm. And so we just accept that this is like a thing that it's fine. And when it's the other way around, we're like, what is this? The woman is older?
Right.
But I think that there's, like, the other optics that maybe is, like, more our direct sphere that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Where, in that world, we would universally look at the older man, younger woman, and say, that's creepy and gross. And I think we would also, likewise, look at older woman, younger man, and maybe say, go get it, girl.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think both of those perspectives are fucked up.
I agree.
I think they're both of them are inherently like flawed.
I think they are birthed from what Brendan was describing.
Right. I mean, like, I do get what you're saying. I think it's just the idea that like it's almost like an overcorrection on one part to immediately be like,
yeah,
oh, if that woman's getting a young guy, like you go, girl, you get that.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, let's look at this objectively in its own context.
I agree that that is an overcorrection, but I also agree that it is like not necessarily the case that older man, younger woman is inherently gross.
Right. I don't think either of them are inherently gross, but I just think it can't be viewed outside of the lack of parity between gender.
No, it can't for sure. But I just want to make a distinction, I guess, between like the what normal, I guess, like what quote unquote the hoi polloi
right.
thinks, mm-hmm. the vox populi, and like I guess what I would call maybe a more, like, media-savvy, liberal,
mm-hmm.
sort of progressive crowd, where we're sort of, like, we would maybe be more apt to forgive older woman, younger man, because we're like, it's time. Right. It's time.
And I think it's also, I think it's an understandable place to land, but I think it misunderstands the core problem of a, so there are, of course, non-toxic examples of an age gap relationship, but I think the assumption of the toxic one is a concern ultimately about power dynamics.
Right. I mean, and that's like a whole other issue to have a relationship between like a 20-something woman and like a 60-year-old man and like a 17-year-old.
Correct.
Or like a 60-year-old. Because like that's a whole other thing. And if you want, and I'm not even speaking about this like to you directly saying like, if you want to, I'm saying like in the broad hypothetical sense, like if you wanted to like bring that up, like that's a whole other category within this thing too.
Right.
Like even like just beyond the concept of like the power dynamic imbalance that comes from someone much older dating someone younger.
I almost feel like the going to the you get 'em girl or whatever take of it is, it's almost like assuming, well, it's like, there's no changing an age gap romance, but at least women can do it too.
Right.
I guess it's almost like this like fatal or like this resigned.
Right. It's like the second wave feminism or something.
But like to the point of your, like, so, okay, I don't know how much of a structure we have in this discussion, but I kind of want to talk about separately, like when you talk about power dynamics, I think that like age is really only one part of that, and a greater component, and that's why, like, again, I think it's wrong to just stop at age gap and say like
gross.
Big age gap, gross.
Yeah,
like in the example of the movie you saw, The Idea of You, there's a huge power imbalance in that one of them is a normal woman,
right, and the other one is like a very wealthy pop star who everyone knows,
and like the relationship is going to have to be pretty much on his terms,
right,
because of the life he lives,
right,
and he's going to have all the money. And he'll always have more, like, money and power.
Right. People will always be looking at, even, like, 30 years from now when he's, like, a washed-up pop star.
Yes.
People will still remember him.
Yeah. So that's already, like, again, an example of, like, how it doesn't just amount to, like, age. But then certainly also, like, you also pointed out, like, number of years is certainly a factor. Do we want to talk about, like, the weird supernatural circumstances you get into in certain movies?
I mean, there is certainly that. Like, that, it almost feels like that's almost something that movies never deign to really discuss, too. Except, I feel like if you can certainly have the issue where, like, let's assume that, like, one supernatural being is functionally immortal and they fall in love with a human.
Yeah.
I feel like the most you really get then is the supernatural being mopey, being like, you'll never, like, how many, like, lovers I've seen, like, grow old and die before. It's less played up the idea that, like, you are dating, like, who is, like, comparatively a child versus you being several hundred years old.
I guess that's true in most, like, Western things, right? I think this is a lot more common in, like, fantasy books, maybe, well, and also more common in, like, anime and, like,
especially
manga shit.
In anime, that's used commonly to cover what would otherwise be
pedophilia?
A pretty universally unacceptable age gap. Exactly,
yeah.
Maybe pedophilia.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, she may look 10, but she's 500,
like,
so.
Spice and Wolf is a show that I would love to watch normally because it, like, it has, like, the plot of the show that I would like, but it's, like, what I can't get around is, like, yeah, she's, like, a farm goddess, but she just isn't the body of a 16-year-old.
Nope.
I'm like, couldn't you have just said 18, 20?
Yeah,
you
right.
You can say 18, 20.
Right.
But also, I think 16 is technically of age in Japan as well, so it's,
it
like,
might be,
it's fine for us, guys. It's like, not fine for me. That's weird. Why do you have to be 16? Why all these,
like, yeah, couldn't you, just, like, couldn't you just for fun just have up to two more years anyway?
Yeah,
like, I get that it's legal,
more.
But, like, let's go nuts.
Like, if I ever watch it, I'm just gonna have to, like, internalize in my brain, like, she's 18.
She's definitely 18.
It reminds me sort of when I worked at Trader Joe's, there was a playlist of songs that came from, like, the 50s and 60s, but they were weirdly heavy on male crooner songs about how underage girls just could not get enough of them.
Oh, yeah.
And
I mean,
like, this is so fucking weird. So I do kind of wonder, like, is there ultimately at play a really disgusting fantasy in which it's like, yeah, she's 16, but in every other way, she's in, like,
she's
an
a woman.
Adult.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
she's into me.
Right. I would chuck a lot of that just up to sort of like changing cultural mores, you know, more than anything. Like at the time, you know, and like that. This isn't, again, a conversation that I want to delve too deeply in, but
right.
It's just one of those things where, like, at the time, yes, that was socially acceptable to be like, this 16-year-old is fucking hot as hell for me.
Yeah.
Like, she is very much a woman in every respect.
There's a lot of, like, that. I mean, there's a lot of that in older stuff.
Right, like, some of the 50s and 60s songs are just, like, singing about, like, how they love this, like, hot teenage girl.
Which
and it's
is just so wild to think about now.
I mean, but again, it's also, like, if you think about this even from, like, a, like, I don't want to say a pragmatic perspective, but so much of even is just that, like, they know that they're selling songs to teenage girls.
Right.
So you want it to be like, you want to think that this hot singer like is singing to you directly.
I can't remember where the song comes from. You probably know, but what? I really was wrong. It's not like overtly meant to be creepy. It's not in the same way that like, oh, the 16-year-old girl is hot, but there's that old song about like little girls.
Oh, from Gigi, thank heaven for little girls.
So creepy.
Which is, yeah,
it is creepy.
It is deeply upset. It's one of those things where like the intent was not for it to be creepy. The intent is like just this like this nice jovial innocence. Right, jovial French guy being like women are wonderful and like little girls grow up to be women, and I think that's great because women are just God's gift to humanity. But like if you don't funnel your brain into that perspective, it's just like this old guy being like, oh, little girls, like, oh, I can't wait till they grow up, like I'm looking at this lovely little girl and imagining what she will be like when she's old. It's
so
like
uncomfortable.
Right, I mean, it's just like, again, like it's sort of like a cultural shift, right, in that respect, where like looking back on it now, yes, it's entirely gross. You have to just, if you want to enjoy this, you have to just sort of put your brain in a certain, you know, like lock your brain into a certain place and just think to yourself, like, it means this, it does not mean something else. You just have to like follow along with what I assume the intent of the creators were for something like that.
Can I offer a personal take on the Supernatural age gap thing?
Of course.
No.
Personal take slash, I don't know if any of this is maybe extrapolated from stuff that I have seen, because I've definitely seen a lot of, I definitely tend to see a lot of these things. I gravitate towards them. Or they're towards me. It's a mutual, it's how gravity works.
Yes, you are, you like know, the sun.
Your energy is harmonized and you just drift it closer together.
Things just start orbiting bigger around you. Yeah.
The gravitational.
Yeah, all these books just sort of get pulled in toward you.
But I think after a certain point, I think there's a couple ways to go about it, but I think that I probably have seen stuff where I think it does actually get addressed, not just as like, you know, as sort of just assuming that like if you're an immortal god that you're just like as mature as an adult, sure, have a relationship. I think there's a couple ways of handling it, and I think after a certain amount of time being immortal, I think you're no longer, if you were always immortal or always a god or whatever, you probably don't have the same mindset as a human anyway.
Right.
It's an alien point of view. And so I think that part of that is the same way that you would approach like robot romance, where it's like, learn what emotions are, learn what humanity is, etc. And that's fine. That's doable. We've seen that before. I know how to do that. Give me that brief. I know how to write that.
Mm.
And then there's like, I guess like sort of remembering like the sense that like you maybe once were able to connect, but it's not, but it depends. But I think there are ways to do it. But I do think in general, I would sort of see it as like a plateau, right? Where it's like, you know, if the age gap is like 100 years, but one of them's in their 20s and it's just because the other one's like been alive for 200 years, I think it's probably fine.
That's kind of my, because it's also one of those things where it's like, this is not real anyway.
Right,
so like, because this is not real, you can apply whatever logic you want to it. And if like your internal logic allows you to just look at this and be like, this is perfectly fine, which I think is like what my perspective usually is.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And I think it's like, you have a lot of lived experience for 200 years, but what the fuck have you done with that time? Nothing realistically human anymore at that
point. Right. I think, yeah, to your point, if it becomes fantasy, then it stops for me really being something that you really even discuss in serious terms, like what it's trying to say with an age gap romance, because it doesn't matter.
Right.
One of them's an immortal supernatural being.
And we can quibble if it's sort of like, you know, if it were like for, I don't know, like a Kirsten Dunst in Interview with a Vampire scenario,
right,
where if it was sort of like, but she's 12, but she's horny like a woman or something, then you can be like, this is weird.
Right.
Let's not deal with this.
Right.
But if it is like, you know, you know, like, for lack of a better example, again, Twilight, if it were something like that, where it's sort of, these are both ostensibly high schoolers, they both, like, you know, one appears to be a high schooler, the other one is a high schooler, it's like, well, you're both functionally still young adults in this scenario.
A lot of it's aesthetic, right? Because
right.
if you can make both characters look roughly analogous in age, you're probably going to be more cool with it, and then more so if it's in a fantastical situation.
I would argue that, so there are things where creep sometimes enters into it, so like in the TV show Moonlight, which
I believe you and like five other people watched
very long. But the situation you get into, Moonlight is only one example of this scenario that happens all the time with these supernatural things, where it's like, he's a vampire, he's been around, I don't know, hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And he like, he first encounters the love interest when she's like 8 because he's saving her from a burning building or something.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, meets her again as an adult, and, like, she recognizes him because he looks the fucking
same.
The same,
right, yeah.
And it's like, I think it's fine. It's fine.
I will agree with that too. I was worried what you were going to say was that, like, and then he like stalks her for the next 8 years, watching her grow up, and like that would be weird. Yeah, but like no, for something like that, that's okay. I can live with that.
There are also ones. So the game I just played had this is a crazy one. The guy was he's like an Eevee. Imagine like an Eevee.
Right.
Oh, like from Pokemon?
Yeah, imagine that you had, like, an Eevee.
Okay.
And it could talk and it was intelligent and everything. Okay. And it was with you for 10 years of your life from 10 to 6, 10 years, so I guess 6 to 16.
Okay.
Lived with you and your aunt, because you were orphaned, your parents died. And it was sort of like a familial figure in your life. But it was a cat. And it's a fey beast, and you know that most fey beasts can turn into humans, but he's like, I can't do it, not me, I'm just a cat thing. Just a weird cat Eevee thing. And then you find out later that he is actually... He didn't lie about it, but he rediscovered the ability to transform. And then suddenly he's hot, and then you want to start dating him.
Oh my god.
Well, I'd say there's a little bit to unpack there.
Yeah. But it gets way crazier, because then it turns out he's not actually a fey beast. He's a 1,000-year-old living golem thing.
Okay, that makes it better. I'm back on board now.
I'm more comfortable with golem unhuman than I am with...
I feel like that also just kind of goes to, like, and this is, like, getting kind of off topic, but, like, it sort of goes to the whole, like, they meet when they're 8, and like they're best friends, and then it's like, but then something starts to blossom, and it's just kind of like, that could be a thing, but then when it starts to get into the point where, like, this magical creature meets this person as a child.
The thing with this plotline is that's like 8 tropes in one, where it's like the childhood friend trope, but it's also like the sort of supernatural being trope. Also, he gets amnesia at some point, so
it's really checking all your boxes there.
It really ticked a lot of
them.
But like, it's like, I would agree that that starts to get weirder. It's weird that imagine if you had a cat that, granted it talks and it's like a person,
right?
You let it sleep on your bed?
Right.
For 10 years?
Right. There's an entirely different relationship you have with it.
You brushed his fur, with a brush?
You clean its poop out of a box?
Right. And then now you're supposed to see them as a human.
A sexual
also
being.
A sexual being.
Yeah.
Which is a lot.
But that's a weird one.
You know what? Save that for Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah.
Okay? And how much she loves dogs.
Right.
Oh my god,
I think ultimately where my line with age gap is doesn't really necessarily have to do with the amount of age. I think it's in what intent I feel is being communicated with that choice.
Sure.
So I think if something is framed as trying to make an older male character, for example, look cool and hot because a, like, much younger hot woman is into him, I'm much less into that than I would say, like, an age gap romance like Harold and Maude, where that's, like, servicing a larger and more interesting, like, thematic purpose.
Yeah.
And it also manages to almost, like, pull off a proto-Manic Pixie Dream Girl that was not annoying, because it actually feels earned. Because she's had...
A Manic Pixie Dream Granny.
Yeah, well, she's... Yes,
Manic
exactly.
Pixie Dream...
Octa Canaria.
Octa DG.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's the same.
But do you know what I mean? Like, you choose to do an age gap romance for one reason or another. And in my mind, there are some reasons that I find gross and other reasons that I find fine or interesting.
Yeah. Is it the same? Is it that, like, that pornography rule again?
I know it when I see it.
Right.
You know creep when you see it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a valid point, I think. And it's also something, like, when we were trying to, like, just talk about, like, you had said, Lee, like, just, like, think about any movies or whatever that, you know, like, might hit on this subject that you might want to, like, bring up. And, like, the one that I feel like had, like, some discourse about this when it came out was Call Me By Your Name, where Timothy Chalamet's character is supposed to be 17, and Armie Hammer is supposed to be, like, 25 or 24 or something. Like, and it's one of those things also where it's, like, okay, one, this is in Italy, the age of consent is lower there, so, like, everyone is nice and legal here. And two, it's also sort of, like, I don't, like, I feel like this is a slippery thing to say that can be easily spun in a wrong way, but, like, I think there's something to be said about remembering what it was like when you were that age crushing on someone who might have been a little older than you, you know? Like, I think it's just that, like, the fact that it's kind of from this character's perspective and framed as sort of, like, the first crush he kind of has, and, like, the thing that, like, you know, like, that becomes, like, you know, the first love he experiences in this way. I think it's, like, a little different almost. Do you know what I mean?
I think, like, it's also, like, it's taking place in the 80s, I believe.
It is, yeah.
And I'm kind of two minds on it. I think, yeah, it is an age gap romance that But to me, the worst it gets is maybe, like, it's slightly gray that he's 17, and then the other one's, like, in his early to mid-20s.
Right, which isn't, like... I don't think is that bad.
No, I mean, I guess I don't either. Yeah. But I also think the movie does a good job to not make you feel badly about that. It's not as if his 17-ness is itself the sexual attraction. It's not put through that lens. And I also... My other half of the mind about it is people usually don't give this much of a shit when it's a hetero couple same difference.
So I haven't seen Call Me By Your Name. I never got around to seeing it before we found out that Armie Hammer's insane. Yeah. And now I've been on the fence of like, is it okay to see it?
Yeah. He's good. It's an unfortunate side effect, but yes, he is good in it.
Yeah. Maybe I will see it someday, but I was like, I guess I shouldn't avoid it. Maybe I'll see it. If it's streaming for free, I can't. I'm not sure what I'm doing. So is in that movie, like, because again, I think it's another factor I want to introduce into the power dynamics and like whether or not it's creepy. Who makes the moves and like
who's... It is Timothée Chalamet.
So that's in my mind,
right? I mean, it's against like the charade role, right? Where like because the younger, you know, I realize that at a certain point you get into a weird Lolita sort of thing where it's like, you know, if a 14-year-old is making a
pass, they knew what they were doing,
right? An adult man, you shut that down. You say no, thank you, and leave.
If it's two people who are again consenting,
right? They are for all intents and purposes adults in this story. They are consenting. So
also, what realistically would have made people feel better about it if Timothée Chalamet pretended to be Italian and then it's okay? Like it's weird that we have to make that then abide by our rules.
Well, I mean,
our mores current.
I guess I'm not quite so, because he's not Italian though.
I know, but I'm saying like if the age of consent is lower in Italy, would make people feel better if he was Italian?
I see.
Because he's not. He might be in Italy, but he's not sexually.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Right. I mean, also like,
but, like, realistically, I don't know anything about sex. All right, because I wasn't ever having it, but people were definitely having it at 17.
And with people who were that.
Right.
Age,
I mean, like, this is also sort of why, like. I don't want to say the concept, you know, like, I don't want to get to like a whole age of consent thing, but it's also one of those things where like age of consent is a relatively recent development in terms of like things that we have, you know, created for, you know, for a net positive purpose.
Yes.
To be quite clear. But there were like states and regions where you could be much younger than 17. And it was like, you are considered legally an adult at age 14 or whatever.
But it's like, again... You know, when you see it rules, that this is the murkier area. It's like, you know when you watch it, if you have any sort of, like, savvy or media literacy or, like, ability to just read people. You know when a person, if it's Timothée Chalamet who's younger or maybe a little closer to underage, under a consent age, and they're flirting with somebody older.
Right.
You would know, like, there would be ways to tell, like, is this person in their right mind? Are they doing it for the right reasons?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're in if that's being done in a responsible movie, fictional context, then the older person, it's sort of on them to be like,
yes or no.
Reject if it seems like this is just like a weird thing they're doing.
Right.
That it's like a weird thing they're lashing out in some weird way versus if it's a genuine attempt at a romantic connection.
Right, yeah. It is also one of those things, too, that you can sort of do with fiction, I think, where it's like you as creator of fiction can sort of canonically take a stance and be like, this is okay, or be like, this is a bad thing that this person, like, this
you can write it one way and say like, Timothée Chalamet's character knows what he's doing here, he's in charge of his actions, he wants this person, he's going for this person. Or you can also say like, they're a confused child,
right, he's too young to really know what he's doing, and then like later there's an epilogue where he's like, why did I do such a stupid thing when I was younger? Boy, what a dummy. But and that's also, I think, kind of something we had also said, like some of these movies sort of like deal with the age gap and other ones just don't. And like sometimes, you know, you have things like Shop Girl was the one I had sort of brought up where it's you know, Steve Martin and Claire Danes and Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah.
And, you know, Steve Martin is with Claire Danes, but like the movie, you know, the movie is not really saying like, this guy is great. Like, this guy has his shit figured out, and he is like, any girl would be so lucky to fuck Steve Martin. I think it's kind of almost like a weird wish fulfillment, which I think like in a weird way, there is almost like a wish fulfillment sort of thing for like a young adult to like meet someone who's older than them, who has their shit figured out, who like is attractive and has money. And it's just sort of like, you can like, and I'm not even
feels
like,
validating.
Right. Like, it's not even from like a sugar daddy experience, but just sort of the idea that like this person like can
he's
like
interested in me. Huh?
Right. Right, like, it
must be so mature.
Right, and, like, they can, like, sort of, like, take care of you and help you in a way that, like, perhaps people your own age can't or something, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, there is certainly that to it. But also, again, like, Steve Martin's character is sort of portrayed as, like, flaky and, like, unable to commit. And at the end of the movie, like, he doesn't get with Claire Danes. And the movie clearly is, like, he missed out because he couldn't, like, fucking get his shit together and commit.
Yeah.
And now Claire Danes is with someone who is closer to her own actual age. So, like, I don't think, like, this is a movie being, like, it is super cool when old guys date young women. It's a movie that, it's, like, first of all, it's, like, a slight character piece.
Yeah.
And second of all, it's just sort of saying, like, you know, regardless of what age you are, like, make sure you kind of have your shit together before you embark on something like this. Or be very clear about what you're starting whenever you're starting up something with another person. Anyway.
I think, too, it just does end up coming down to a media literacy thing, like Lee was saying.
Oh, yeah, of course there's that.
I think it's very easy to think that because an age gap is depicted, that
it's endorsement.
And therefore all the age gap is bad. And it's like, no, I mean, like, so I see what you're saying too about, like, it's not like we're trying to say, like, why do we even care about age? It's just a number, because that's not it at all. But it's mostly that just because it's shown in a movie does not in and of itself say that, like, this is a good thing. And Shop Girl's a great example of that. It is depicting something that happens, but showing how maybe that the older guy is actually kind of immature and, like, not worth your time.
And, like, something's got to give or something like
that.
Where it's, like, where it starts out with Jack Nicholson dating Amanda Peet, and the movie is clearly saying, like, this is stupid. Like, why is he dating this, like, 20-something-year-old woman?
I mean, doesn't Nancy Meyer love to go back to that well, though?
She does. Well, she loves it when, like,
Alec Baldwin is with, like, Belle.
She loves it when, like a rakish sort of, like, elder playboy falls in love with an age-appropriate woman. But anyway, I digress.
I mean, to your point, Chris, about, like, you know, when it's just a guy, something to make a guy look cooler, like, pretty much any Bond situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is that, and I think, like, didn't we know Roger Moore was kind of like, this is weird.
Right, it was during Due to a Kill,
knowingly,
where he found out that he was older than the Bond girl's mother, and that's when he was like, gotta stop making these.
But it's like, just it's like people expect it.
You,
like,
do, right.
But I don't, you know, the Bond thing is a whole issue in and of itself, because I feel like they keep casting these Bonds. You gotta get, like, a 20-year-old.
I mean, that's the thing, too, right? If they cast another, like, 40-year-old as Bond, these movies take, like, five years to make.
Yeah.
So, like, by the time they make, like, movie number three with this guy, he'll be, like, 50-something and chasing after, like, 30-year-olds.
There were people that were still, like, not even a few years ago being like, I can't wait for Idris Elba
to
the next
one. Right,
which
is insane.
Like, no.
Yeah, and the problem, of course, not that he's black, that he's, like, 60 years old.
Find a younger black guy. If you got a black Bond, there's so many out there.
Right. Find, like, a 20-something-year-old guy who will, like, grow into this role for the next 20 years.
Have you heard the rumors?
It'll be great. What one?
That
I've heard so many.
Aaron Taylor Johnson got it?
They said that, like, that was like a month ago, and I feel like nothing came since. So, like, that's an old rumor. I don't know if I buy it.
Who's on?
I mean, speaking of age gaps.
I know. Oh my god. And his wife just released that much benighted Amy Winehouse biopic.
Right.
What would you guys think about, I don't know if he's getting too old, what would you guys think about Dev Patel?
I would love
to.
I don't want to take him off the market for other movies, though.
That's the thing, too. I think he might be like, how old is Dev Patel at this point? Like,
he's probably approaching 40, right?
I was going to say, like, I feel like he's got to be about 40 at this point.
But he's
almost
still
40.
In the 30s.
But, like, even if they announce tomorrow, Dev Patel will be James Bond. It's going to take, like, 2 years before this movie is in theater. So, like, I think Dev Patel is great. I don't think, like, one, I don't want to tie him down to James Bond.
Exactly.
And two, I do think he's probably, like, it's, you know, a little too old.
I will say I would be interested in seeing him in more action films, because I saw his movie
Monkey Man
and it was quite good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have to see that still.
So, yeah. It's to point out the sort of difference between two movies of the age gaps. They're just looking at the age gap thing. Hollywood. This is, again, actors. This isn't the...
Right. So there's a website that we found.
HollywoodAgeGap.com.
Right. And to be clear, like you said, Lee, this is the difference between actors, not necessarily between characters, which can be fudged a little
bit
more.
Two very different portrayals of an age gap with the same years. Daddy Longlegs and Lolita. Both 32 years.
Wow. I've never seen Daddy Longlegs.
I haven't either. Yeah.
It's basically like... It's Gigi, it's sort of Gigi, not really Gigi S, because it's not the same thing, but it is like older, Fred Astaire's like an old man. He's 56.
Mm-hmm.
Not older.
Who's the woman in Daddy
Leslie
Longlegs?
Karen.
Oh, again from Gigi.
Yes.
Gigi certainly has her niche.
It's
probably
the
reference
it. Extreme age gap.
But it's like, he's sort of like benefiting her from afar.
Uh-huh.
which is, again, that's a bit creepy.
Right, right.
He's sort of, like, helping her out from afar, and she doesn't know who it is.
That yeah.
She's,
very, Phantom of the Opera.
I was just thinking that, too, yeah, like, very Phantom of the Opera.
And then she kind of, like, I think she sees him occasionally, but she doesn't know...
That he's her benefactor.
Daddy Longlegs,
yeah. That he's her Daddy Longlegs.
Yeah, it is upsetting. It's upsetting that the movie's called
it
Daddy
Longlegs. It is, that's a great name, yeah.
It's upsetting that he's sort of, like, secretly helping her out in a sort of, like, Roxanne-esque way, but with money. And it's also upsetting that, yeah, it's that she's sort of, it's so it's like one of those rom-com cons where it's like he's sort of seeing her under false pretenses because she doesn't know that she's the guy.
But then he's also sort of paid for her life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
And then she finds out and she's like, thanks.
Thanks, Daddy Longlegs.
Thanks, Daddy Longlegs.
I mean, there's also almost like, it's also kind of a thing even with Fred Astaire and Funny Face too, right? With Audrey Hepburn. And I mean, frankly, you could look at like the entire film career of Audrey Fred Hepburn Astaire. Pretty much.
And Audrey Hepburn, yeah.
Right. Like Audrey Hepburn, who has like routinely been paired with men who are like 25 plus yeah. years older than her.
Could
what's
at
funny
least
to
be
me
her father.
Is that Sabrina is on here twice because of
the remake.
Yeah.
But what like, is what's the age gap in the, between the old and the new? So like, what are the
it's
differences?
It's smaller, so it's yeah. 30 years for
the
for Humphrey Bogart.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? I said this to myself out loud last night.
Yeah.
It's 23 for Harrison Ford.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm sorry, Humphrey, you're not hot. So
no,
is that Juliette Binoche?
You're not attractive.
Isn't that the new one?
Which one?
Was it Julia Binoche who was the
yes.
new one?
Yeah.
No, Julia no. Ormond.
Ormond.
Yeah, it's someone who, like, I don't know.
It's one of the French Julias.
You know, but you know what? What's crazy to me in the new Sabrina, it's 23 years, right?
Yeah.
Because it's the actors.
Yeah,
but
right.
Sabrina, Julia Ormond's 30.
Right.
Sabrina's 21.
Right, she's like just out of college,
yeah,
basically,
she's
right? Like she went,
out of college.
She went to Paris to do like some like post high school schooling.
Yeah.
This was also in the 90s where she probably they would have also cast her to play like a high schooler on TV.
Yeah.
So
I'm just saying like the age gap is probably higher than 23 years in the movie.
Right.
Yes.
And then it is with the actors.
Or but again, also like is Harrison Ford like playing younger? Like is his character canonically like you
in
know
in his 40s? I
yeah,
don't know. He's
I don't know.
53 in the movie.
Yeah.
I would imagine he looks 53.
No, he doesn't. Does. But
you know?
I mean, that wouldn't be the first time that someone's like,
yeah,
you know, skirting that issue.
It's Moonraker, there's a lot of yeah.
Moonraker is wild.
It sits up. Moonraker is the most insane Bond movie. Can we
and
can
yet,
we say that aloud.
It has one of the least insane intro songs, and
yeah,
I
one
wish
of the tallest.
I wish it was weirder.
He's the man who rakes the moon.
Yes, he is the man who rakes the moon.
Moonraker.
But I think as they say Goldfinger, and don't they say it in a similar way to Moonraker? So I'm not totally.
No,
yeah, I mean, it's the same syllables.
It's
just like Goldfinger,
Moonraker.
Moonraker.
So
yeah.
I did start to sing it.
But then the actual song is just like.
It's just a snooze. It's a light of him snooze, as so many other Roger Moore.
It's like.
I did. I've,
it's like the moon.
Yeah.
I've sung that into my head so many times.
It's,
now,
it's,
you definitely
it's
came
so
up with that.
Yeah.
Because I was singing Moonraker to the tune of Goldfinger.
I mean, one of these days we have to get you in the recording studio to do all your covers, including Boat Show from
yes,
the film Showgirls.
My favorite song, Boat Show, of course.
Oh my god.
Anything else you guys want to throw out about age gaps, I guess?
I feel like probably there was, but. Can I
yeah.
talk about Nuna Romances really quickly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's, I just wanted to mention there's a whole subgenre of K-drama romances called Nuna romances, which are like what people call it when the woman is older, because in, they have like honorifics, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you are talking to like an older woman, it's Nuna. If you're talking to like an older guy, it's Opa. So usually like your, and also your boyfriend is usually your Opa, because there's this sort of general assumption that your boyfriend is
older
than
you.
But also just kind of rooted in that same sort of, you know, Neo-Confucianist culture, which
right.
is generally pro-male.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but the Nuna romance is the opposite case, where it's like the woman is older. But I just want to point out that, like, I've seen a few of these, and most of these, like, it's a very small age. These are like, we've talked about Harold Mann.
Yeah.
These are women that were like, I don't know, 7 to 10 at most years older, at most.
Mm-hmm.
And often it's like 5. Not that crazy age gap. But there are some weird ones where, like, I Can Hear Your Voice is definitely an example of one where the kid's in high school and she's not. And she doesn't want this guy to be crushing on her, but he is. And he, like, aggressively pursues her for, like, most of the show. Not, like, in a creepy way, but in, like, a... Like
insistent way?
He's
tenacious.
Insistently being like, I am in love with you, and we're going to be together. And she's like, you are in high school. Go to school.
And I mean, like, that's another whole other conversation you can have, too, frankly. Like,
yeah.
The idea of, like, someone aggressively pursuing.
But it is a... it is portrayed as just a cute romance, and I'm like, not really. Also, he can read minds, so do you want to talk about bad power dynamics?
I love that you're throwing this detail in right now.
Well, see, that's why it's called I Hear Your Voice.
Of course.
So you want to talk about wild power dynamics, the dynamic of, like, the high schooler that can just read your mind at will.
So it balances out, though. She may be older, but he is telepathic.
Yeah.
So, like, that puts them on equal footing.
Well, it doesn't not put them... I'm just saying, like, it's bad enough that, like, she doesn't really... necessarily want this for a long time.
Just imagine, like a horny psychic high schooler following you all the time. Like, Christ.
I think they have to cohabitate also for some reason.
Of course, for some contrivance, right?
Yeah, because it's a K-drama.
No jury would convict her if she killed him.
You've been like, it's completely fine. Yep. You actually did us all a favor. Right?
Romance is a Bonus Book is a silly title, but it was a cute show, but I would say the stakes were it's very Nancy Myers-esque. The stakes are quite low. It's
I
like
love
this
that.
Divorced woman who like decides to start she ended her career to like start a family with her husband and have kids, and her husband's a shitbag, and so she eventually divorces her husband. I don't even know if they have kids. I don't think they have kids. I think they couldn't or something. And she has to get back in the workforce, but obviously it's hard because she has no work history. So she joins this like publishing company at a very entry level job, and her best friend is like a younger guy who like I think met when he was in high school, but he's fully grown up now and is in college. So they met when he was still in school, and she was in college, but now they're both adults. So it's a decent age gap, but he's become like a hugely successful author. And I think he used his connections to get her the job. And that one's just a nice, cute romance.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a very...
That doesn't sound so...
It is a very, like, sort of Lifetime level romance. I think that one of the other... There's a married couple at the show in the publishing company. And, like, I think halfway through they have a divorce. And then, like, the two women bond over being divorced. It's a great... It's
that
a cute little
cute.
Show. Yeah. I watched the whole thing. It was, you know, it was pretty low stakes. None of those other ones I've seen, but those are the two examples. There's so many of them, man.
It sounds like they're good examples. Well, at least that second one was a good example of how it could be nice. That first one, not so much.
I gotta talk about, it's not a K-drama, but there probably has been a Korean version of it, but Kimiwa Petto is one of the most insane older woman, younger man things. It's a manga anime, it's J-drama, it's been through the works. I see the J-drama, the live action. It is about an older woman who is like very like cold hearted, you know, taciturn. It's a man's world she works in, and she's gotta be a man to, you know what I mean?
Right.
That kind of woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she like literally finds this guy like as if he's an abandoned puppy, like in a cardboard box. Like one night I'm coming home and like
wearing
him
a potato sack.
Basically, like he's like,
love me.
And she like takes him in and he reveals
she
that he
gets
has,
him microchipped.
Like, nowhere to go, and like he's like a dancing student or something. He's like a college student studying dance or something.
Yeah,
and he's like, I have nowhere to go, but I will agree to be your pet if you like let me live here or whatever. So like it is actually like this weird relationship where like he is like her pet.
Does it
this feels healthy?
Yeah, that feels sort of BDSM.
Yeah, it's not depicted as healthy. I will say that much.
That's at least a relief.
It's depicted as like pretty weird and effed up. Like there's, you know, there's definitely like bits where he starts to cross the line, and it's really like, yeah, this is not good for either of you guys. It's not good for you. It's not good for her.
And you know what? Stop it. Yeah.
Well, anyone have any last age gap statements to throw out? Closing argument, what have you?
I really thought I could get more definitive than I'll know it when I see it, but it does kind of come down.
Oftentimes you can't.
Yeah. I did just also want to throw out there, when you mentioned Lifetime, it reminded me, saw a trailer for a Lifetime movie starring Luke McFarland, where he plays an Amish guy who conspires with his mistress that he met on the internet somehow to kill his wife. And the title is Amish Stud. And he has the most awkward, like, beard prosthetic on. It's delicious. I can't wait to watch.
Any other comments on age gaps, Lee?
No, catch me reading some fantasy about some 1,000-year-old AI turned human falling in love with another person. Do it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would just say, like, as I said previously, I believe anyone who dates anyone younger than them is a pedophile and should be put in jail, regardless of how old anyone is. You're a pedophile.
That's healthy.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I guess like just like the general thing I would throw out is just that I don't think that they're inherently a bad thing. I do agree that there it is oftentimes a one-sided dynamic, and we do get a whole lot of, you know, 60-year-old men romancing 30-year-old women in movies, and it is, I get it, it is tiresome to deal with that all the time. So if only from the perspective of we've seen so much of this. Yeah, it might be nice to start thinking more age-appropriate in some respects, but obviously this sort of thing happens in real life. So I get it. I get that we see too much of it. I get that there is an imbalance in it. It's not inherently a bad thing.
Right. No, I think that that's a separate problem. I think that the older man with hot young woman just needs to stop.
Right.
Simmer down.
Yeah.
Because you know why you're doing it, Hollywood. We know.
Right. Because
we're out of your games.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, having broke that age gap wide open.
Finally.
And then patched it up with some caulk again, so that gap will never trip anyone ever again. Come back at us in 2 weeks with our full-length episode on Wish. You can go to our website, drappack.com, facebook.com/whywatchpodcast. All the episodes are on our website. You can, of course, also find us, subscribe to us, rate, and all that crap on the typical podcast apps. And that's all I got. And bye!